Just but God. There's so many but God moments in my life. And so many but God moments, and I won't share none of them. But if you're saved this morning, raise your hand. Wash in the blood of Jesus. I just want you to know you got a but God moment in your life. I want you to know this morning, we're going to make it to the other side. I had a preacher call me last night, and he said, if you don't mind, can I use one of your sermons? Will you give me a blessing to use one of your sermons that I heard you preach? And I said, wear it out, son. It ain't mine. It's his anyway. Can I get an amen? Hey, I never preach my own. I always preach somebody else's because it's always this. Amen? Hey, this is written by somebody. This is written by God. What he gives you and I inspired this morning, the inspired word. But God, if you're saved, you've got a but God moment this morning. And I don't want you to forget that. You've got a but God moment. I don't know what will go on in your week this week. I don't know what went on last week, but God. Amen? If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter number 2. I felt like I've been in a rut sometimes. You ever got there and you just get in a rut and you get dry and you get just down and out sometimes for no reason? Can I get a amen this morning? And you may not feel good and you may not always do what you need to do, but this morning I want to give you a little hope this morning, but God. Amen? But God this morning. If you're saved, you got a but God moment. Ephesians chapter number 2, and we're going to read 1 through 8 this morning, and I want to show you what God has done in your life and what God has done in my life. Did you know this morning that your salvation is not based on you? Your salvation ain't based on what you do. Your salvation ain't based on where you've been or where you're going. Your salvation is based on the finished work of the cross of Calvary. If you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Hey, this morning, can I say to you, but God, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. Give me 15 minutes, we'll have altar call, amen? And the Bible says, and you hath he, and you, that's us, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, you know this morning, listen to me, what you judge somebody with, the Bible says, you'll be judged with. The way you judge somebody, you'll be judged the same way. You judge somebody, they're a liar, they're a thief, they're still, you start calling out somebody else's sins, he's going to judge you with that same. He's going to hold you the same now this morning. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Read this with me if you will. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Father, we love you, and Father, we thank you. Lord God, we lift up your name. Father, this morning we've read it together. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, but it is a gift of God. Father, this morning I've done nothing to earn that gift. Everything that I've done in my life is as filthy rags. It's undone and I'm no good, Father. But I thank you that there was a day in my life, hey, but God reached down. Hey, but God reached down and saved my soul from a devil's hell. But God gave me enough faith to believe. But God gave me enough faith to call on the name of Jesus. But God, this morning, oh God, that you'd move. Oh God, that you would just shower your love down on us this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you. I pray for Brother Lee Markham right now. Lord, he's come in not feeling good. I pray when this service is over, he'd be feeling good. I pray he'd get him a case of, I just can't help it all over him, Father. Lord, I pray he'd get up and walk out of this place like he never has before. Father, I pray for Brother Inlow. I lift him up to you. You know he's at home, Father. And Lord, you know the dizziness and the headaches. that is going on in his life. Lord, I pray you'd touch him. Lord God, I pray you'd heal him. I pray when Sister Brittany gets home, she asks him, how are you feeling? And he says, I feel a whole lot better. Oh God, you reach down and you touch that body. Oh God, but God, if you just do it, we'll give you the honor, the praise, and the glory. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name. Guard my throat, guard my thoughts. I pray that I decrease and that you increase. Jesus, you increase this morning. If anything of value comes out of this service, it'll be because you got the increase. You said that if you be lifted up, Father, if Jesus be lifted up, you draw all men. And Father, we'll lift you up this morning that you may draw all men. In Jesus' holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen and amen. As we come this morning, we see clearly what the Bible says here. The Bible clearly states that we are all dead in our trespasses and sins. In verse number 1, he says that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We are disobedient and our desires are sinful. Outside of Christ Jesus, we're dead. Outside of Christ Jesus, we are disobedient. Outside of Christ Jesus, our desires are sinful this morning. But God made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. He made a way through Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to preach to you and let you know what God has done in your life. You said, but God has not done a whole lot for me. All he done is save me. That's the most major thing he's ever done in your life. How can I say to you this morning that he saved your soul is one of the greatest things that will ever happen in your life. And a lot of people that say they're saved, they've done got over it. They've done got under it. They're not really worried about it. Friends, I want you to know this morning, I thank God that he saved my soul from a devil's hell. I thank God this morning that he done that in my life. God truly hates sin. Listen to me this morning. God hates sin. It cost his Son's life because of sin. God hates sin, but he does not hate the sinner. He loves everybody in the world. Friends, I want you to know this morning, the question's never been, does God love us? Hey, God loves us. Amen. Hey, this morning, all I can say is, but God. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Can I say to you in verse number 4, but God loved us. Hey, but God loved us. He says in verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Hey, this morning, can I say to you, but God loved us. Hey, when we were in that sinful state and we were in our trespasses and sin and we were dead, God loved us, but God loved us. It's an unconditional love. It ain't like the world we live in that they love you for what you can do for them or you love them when everything's going good. Hey, can I say to you, God loves us, his unconditional love. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I say to you, it's unconditional love. And that love that he has for us is unconditional love. It's unfailing love, that love that he has. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. It's unconditional, but it's unfailing. You know what today? Hey, God doesn't love you more when you get saved than he does when you're going to a devil's hell. Hey, did you know that? He loves the lost man the same as he does the saved man. A lot of times in our culture that we live in, hey, Christians think that God loves them more because they're saved and headed to heaven. Friends, can I say to you, he loved you when you were hellbound. Can I get an amen? It's unconditional love. It is unfailing love. Romans 5:8, the Bible says, but God commended his love toward us. He commended. What does that mean? He turned it to us. Hey, we didn't deserve it, but he turned it to us. He seen we was in a sinful state. He seen we were dead. We were disobedient. And all of our desires was going to the things of this world. But he stepped in between us and the world by the man Christ Jesus. And he said, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I see it's unconditional and it's unfailing love. He said that he done this, that, but God loved us. You didn't love God. God loved you. Never get it mixed up that you've loved God more than he's loved you, because he loved you first. I see it's unconditional love. I see it's unfailing love. And I see it's undeniable love. You can't deny the love of God. that he has for an individual but God. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20, if you will. I see it's unconditional love. I see it's unfailing love, but I see it is undeniable love. You cannot deny the love that God has for his people, and he wants all people to come to him and be saved. The Bible says in Galatians 2:20, he says, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. You say, preacher, what is that? He said, I am crucified. The old man's dead. He doesn't live no more. He's been crucified. He's been dead with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live. I don't understand that this morning, JD, but I've experienced it. I understand that an old man died, but I'm still alive. The old man died, but there's a new man that come alive inside of me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's come alive inside of me. It's unfailing. It's unconditional and it's undenying. It's all over me this morning because he loved me first. He said, for I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Are you alive this morning? Woo! Glory! Are you alive? Man, are you alive? Brother Perry Barnes come up here right there hugging necks. And he said, I can go to the racetrack on Saturday and I can tell them, oh boys, hey, mash on it. Hey, but when I come to the house of God, I want that same spirit about me. Hey, son, I want you to know I'm not dead, but I'm alive. Amen. Woo, glory. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Hey, what? He said, the life I live now is not me. It's not me. He said, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Can you say this morning that Christ lives in you? But God, you can't do it no other way but by God. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The old hymn writer said it this way, love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. This morning I'm asking you, has love ever lifted you up? And the Bible says that love will cover a multitude of sin. That love that we have for one another, that love that God has shown on us this morning. I see not only Brother J.D. that he loved us, but I see that he quickened us. Now I want to stop right here. Everybody knows what love is, amen? Everybody knows what love is, but do you know what quickened is? Do you know what it is to be quickened? I'm not talking about cutting a fingernail in the quick. Hello? That's pain. God don't give you pain. He loves you and he quickens you. Look what he says here. Even when we were dead in sins, we were dead in our sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You say, preacher, what does it mean to be quickened? He awakened us. We were dead. We were asleep and he wakened us. It says that he quickened us. He awakened us, or he resurrected us. He did not revive us, but he resurrected us. How did he not revive me, preacher? Because if you're going to be revived, there had to be a little bit of life left in you. And that may be what's wrong with a lot of people that say they're saved. They've never been truly crucified with Christ Jesus. If you've been crucified with Christ Jesus, there was a moment in your life, Brother Garrett, that Garrett Barnes died and Jesus Christ came alive in your life. I've not been revived. I've been resurrected. Amen. Hey, the old man died and a new man came up. Oh, glory to God. I just feel like preaching sometime. I can't help it. He said he quickened us. He's not revived you. He's resurrected you. If he's revived you, there's a little bit of that old man still left in you, and you got a little CPR breathed in the mouth, pumped on. They kept them lungs pumping. You know what I'm talking about. People said, I've been dead for 15 minutes laying there. I've been on the gurney. I've been this and I've been that. Hey, was somebody still working on you? Can I say to you this morning, he didn't work on my old man. My old man wasn't worth working on. My old man was worth dying and a new man coming up. If you're still working on your old man, he ain't worth working on. That's what's wrong with a lot of churches. They're trying to work on the old man, trying to fix the old man. You can't fix the old man. The old man's got to die and a new man's got to come up. A new man's got to come up. He said he quickened us, he awakened us, and he resurrected us up out of that place. He brought us back and bought us back. He bought back what had been lost in the Garden of Eden. He bought it back, and he bought it back in a way that he quickened us. He bought us back. 1 Corinthians 6:20 said, for you are bought with a price. You are bought with a price. If you know the price that you've been bought with, it's worth a whole lot more. Amen. When I was a kid growing up, Brother Shea Taylor, I wanted Nike tennis shoes. I wanted Levi blue jeans. I wanted nice chapped shirts. I had to have it. I wouldn't shop at Walmart. I didn't want Walmart. Walmart wasn't good enough. I wanted name brand. You know why? Because I wasn't paying the bill. Listen to me. I wasn't paying the bill. I wanted the best. Back then, Nike was the best. Now it's something else probably. You can't keep up with the times. Don't even try to. When I got out, Mama quit footing the bill. Brother Harold, and I was on my own. I went to the store and I looked. Pair of pants, $80. I said, no, 80? I figured up what I was making an hour. I figured up the sweat, the tears, everything I was putting in. I said, them pants ain't worth that. My mama was crazy for buying me this. Woo! She was crazy for buying me this. I looked at my tennis shoes and I said, 100? Oh, no, sir. I ain't got nothing left at the end of the week if I buy all this. So what did I do? I counted the price. I looked at what it costed. And where I was taking it, oh, come on, talk to me, somebody. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. You've been taking him for advantage. He's been paid the price. And you think, you can just put anything on the tab. And you can just keep rolling it over, rolling it over. Friends, this morning, that ain't how it works. You realize you've been bought with a price. You're not yourself, but you've been bought. And as I got looking at that, I said, this ain't going to work. Surely somebody's got it cheaper. And the store that I would not shop at, have anything from, or didn't think it was good enough to wear, I went to that store. And there hung me a pair of Wranglers. Not the ones cowboys wear, neither. Them things are about $100. I'm talking about Wranglers. The one the inseam and outseams turn backers at Walmart, you know? And you wonder why they don't wear right, but you put them on. Can I get a witness? Somebody knows what I'm talking about this morning. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. You realize how hard it is. And you look at it and you say, I'll just take them. They'll do the job. And you go and you buy you a pair of pants, a shirt, and shoes. You buy the whole works. And you buy about $40 in, $50 in back then. And you go to your mama's house. And you walk in. And first thing she realizes, she says, what kind of pants have you got on? Well, mama, what kind of pants have you got on? She's shaking her head. And I said, well, mama, them things are high. Did you? I've been buying them for 17, 18 years. I know how high they are. And my mama would tell me this. She'd say, yeah, but when you wouldn't pay them for it, it didn't bother you, did it? I said, no, it didn't bother me when I wouldn't pay them for it. When it wasn't coming out of your pocket, it didn't bother you, did it? Uh-uh. But when it starts costing you, it'll start bothering you, won't it, son? I said, yeah, it did. This morning, can I say to you, the sin that you're living in, when you realize the cost that it costs to forgive you of your sin and to wash you clean, your sins ain't been rolled over, by the way. This new music we play and says our sin's been rolled away. Your sins has not, listen to me, your sin has not been rolled away. It's been washed away. It's been cast as far as the east is from the west. He said he's put it behind his back, never to remember no more. So this morning, what I want you to know, when you realize the price that it costs on the cross of Calvary, you will not take for granted what he's done for you, how he's loved you, and how he has quickened you. Man, this week I sat there yesterday on that couch. I just started crying. They walked in there and said, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm just thinking about what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. This morning, do you know how much he loves you? Do you realize how much he's quickened you? How you was dead in your trespasses and sin. You say, well, I wasn't bad as a child molester. You was right there with them. Sin is sin before you get born again. You say, well, I wasn't that bad. Sin is sin. Well, I wasn't a murderer. Hey, listen to me. The littlest sin you can think of hung him on the cross. He said he loved us anyway, though. He said he quickened us. But then he said another word there, and I want to share it with you before we go home. Ain't you glad that he loves you? Ain't you glad that he quickened you? Woo, glory, Brother J.D. I just feel good about it, you know? Just feel good about it. I didn't have to have CPR. I had to have the Spirit of God to raise me up out of that tomb, out of that empty tomb, out of that dead tomb, out of that, whew, man, I was dead. But he said he raised us. He raised us. If you're still where you used to be, this morning I just get in this altar. If you're still wallowing in the same old spot, I just get in the altar this morning. Because he said that but God loved us. But God quickened us. And but God, he raised us up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In. This morning, you know what in means? It's opposite of out. I'm not out, but I'm in. I'm right where he wants me to be. I'm in Christ Jesus. No matter what Satan throws my way, I'm in Christ Jesus. He said, even though one day I was dead, I was disobedient, and all my desires lined up with the things of this world, now he loved me, he quickened me, and he raised me. Let me show you this in the text. What he raised, this morning, if you've not been raised up, boy, my desire is you come to the altar. So how do you know God raised you? Look with me here in verse 6. And hath raised us up together. Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus. Do you know what it means to be in Christ Jesus? To be in Christ Jesus, that means he's formed you in Jesus. You have no right. This morning in the prayer room, I just prayed in the Spirit. Listen to Brother J.D. Brother J.D.'s prayer was, he said, I thank you for the man that makes intercession for us, which is Christ Jesus. That's what you said this morning. He formed us in Christ Jesus. He said that we're in. That means we're formed in Christ Jesus. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He liveth in me. I'm formed in Jesus. Let me give you this. I am complete in Jesus. If you're born again this morning, you're not missing nothing. You may not be using it, but you're not missing it. You're complete. Jesus is the total package. There's nothing else, nothing more. Can't add nothing to him, can't take nothing from him. It is Jesus. I am formed in Jesus. I am complete in Jesus. I am made in the image of Jesus. I'm in him. When I'm out and about, Jesus ought to be flowing out of me. This morning in this place, he ought to be flowing out of you. If he's in you, if you're in him. And I love this right here that the strong said, not only am I formed in Jesus, not only am I complete in Jesus and made in Jesus, but I'm altogether fixed in Jesus. Altogether fixed. Brother Lee, this morning, you're fixed in Jesus this morning. Somebody give me an amen right there. Amen. We agree in Jesus' name. He's going to heal your body, heal your spirit, and heal your soul. Brother Lee's been battling this way too long. Brother Enlow, in the name of Jesus, somebody give me an amen right there. Amen. He's going to be fixed altogether in Christ Jesus. This morning I ask you a question. Do you got a but God moment? But God loves me. You know what Satan tries to tell you? That God don't love you. That if God loved you, you wouldn't have lost this. You wouldn't have lost that. That person wouldn't have died. This person wouldn't have died. You wouldn't have went through a divorce. You wouldn't have done. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be broke. If God really loved you, listen, they ain't got nothing to do with his love. He loves you. God's not slack concerning his promises, but he's long-suffering. Not that any should perish, but all come to repentance. God's not slack. Satan tells you, if God really loves you, he wouldn't have left you. He didn't leave you. He quickened you. Satan tells you if God really loved you, he'd raise you up over it. And he has raised you up over it. There's no question that God loves you this morning. Not one question. In my life, Brother J.D., there's not one question that God's not quickened me. This morning, Brother Kevin, there's not one question in my life that God's not raised me up. He's not raised me up above my fellows, but he's raised me up above my failure. He's raised me up above what I used to be, dead. It don't take, when you get raised, that's a lot to come from dead to life. Amen. Amen. Y'all been to some funerals this week? If you seen them at the Piggly Wiggly tomorrow, you'd be blown away, wouldn't you? When somebody sees you tomorrow at work, they would be blown away, something different. Something happened in his life. He must have died. Something might have happened. Let me give you a story that I wrote, that I heard, that I put on my paper here. I heard it. Let me clear that up. Have you received the love of God and have you been bought back and have you been raised up? Do you love God? He sure loves you. That's what I wrote. Here's the story that I heard. It's going to be so simple, it'll blow your mind. But it's so true. This little girl stood hugging her baby dolls, had her baby dolls, hugging her baby dolls, loving them baby dolls. And she looked up at her mother and said, "Mama, I love them so much, and I love them so much, but they never love me back." The little girl had her baby dolls and said, "I love them so much, Mama, I love them so much. I hug them and I love them so much and I help them, but they never love me back." So, preacher, what does that mean? Number one, that baby doll is fake. That's why it can't love back. That baby doll is not real. That's why it can't love back. That baby doll is something that is of no value, and it can't love back. Can I say to you this morning, you're not a baby doll. You've got feelings this morning. You've got feelings this morning. And you've got a high priest that knows what it is to be right where you're at this morning. And whatever you've got going on, you might just need to come to this altar this morning and let him wrap his arms around you and love you. And quicken you, get you out of the place that you're in and raise you up over that. You say, "How am I ever going to get out of the mess that I'm in, preacher?" But God. I get to go to rehab sometimes. People call the phone all the time. They tell me everything wrong in their life, like I'm some kind of fix-it. I'm a mess myself. Why are you calling me? I'm a mess myself. But God. But God, I'm a mess myself. And then they tell me everything going on. Say, "Now what do I need to do?" And they want this big answer, and I say, "You're going to turn to God. How am I going to get that needle out of my arm that's been in there forever? How am I going to get off drugs? How am I going to get off porn? How am I going to do it? And they get crying. How am I going to do it? And they're looking for me some kind of big answer, wanting to send them away for a year and get them help everywhere. And they say, "How am I going to do it?" And the only thing I can tell them is, "You've got to turn to God." "Well, I've done that." And I say, "No, you haven't. If you had, you'd be over it. It'd be under it." "What?" "Yeah, because he loves you. He loves you too much to leave a needle in your arm. He loves you too much to leave you where he found you. He loves you too much to leave you there. He loves you too much for you to be in pain and misery all the days of your life and depression and anxiety to take over your life. He loves you too much. So he quickens you. He raises you up over them circumstances. Now they're still down there, but he puts you up above them in Christ Jesus." And they say, "I've done everything I know what to do." And I said, "But God." And it almost offends people when you tell them, "But God." Why, preacher? Because we live in a world that I can buy what I want. I can buy happiness. You can't buy love. You can attain love with money, but you can't keep it. But God. He loved us when we couldn't even love ourselves. He quickened us. He bought us back when nobody else wanted nothing to do with us. And he raised you up when everybody thought there was no hope. I thank God this morning that I got a but God God. Amen? But God. But God. This morning, if you don't have a but God moment in your life, I ask you to come to the altar and get you one. Just come get you one. Is it that easy? It's that easy if he's drawing. Is it that simple? It's that simple. It's that simple. If you'll get real with God, he'll get real with you. It's never been on his plate that he loved us. He always has. This morning, I wonder if you're like that baby doll. "I've loved and loved and loved," the little girl said, "but it never loves me back." This morning, I ask you a question. Do you have a but God moment? If you don't, I pray you get one before you walk out. Amen? Let us pray. Father, I love you and I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you this morning that when I was dead in my trespasses and sin, I trespassed against you. I went places and I went over the line. I went too far. Born in sin, I needed a Savior. Nothing I could do but call on the name of Jesus. And you loved me just like I was. But you loved me too much to leave me there. You quickened me. You loved me too much to leave me dead. You brought life into this old body. Lord, you loved me too much not to raise me up and to set me in Christ Jesus. And Father, this morning, whoever's at the bottom of the pit this morning, that's at the end of their road, and they need a fresh start this morning. Father, this altar's open. Lord, if they're in a rut, they can get out of it. Lord, they can't climb out on their own, but you'll pick them up and get them out of it. Lord, whoever I'm talking to this morning, Lord God, you'd move on them, you'd help them. When they walk out of this service, they say, but God, he was right there with me. Father, I love you and I praise your holy name. In Jesus' holy, precious name, I ask and pray. And all of God's people said, amen. I ask you to stand.